Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Paul Gannon, alongside Jeremy Espy. And for the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And, of course, you will get a heavy dose of our opinion. If you have an opinion, the number to call is 64-PGAN. That's blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. Or you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gan@gmail.com. That's goforit.gan@gmail.com. Jeremy? Paul? Hey, Jeremy, how are you?
You know, I'm hanging in there. You know, saw you were out and about yesterday, visiting the good old moms in the Monco area.
Yes, I was. I mean, it's always a good time when you can do those type of things and see who's in the neighborhood and things of that nature. But we turning to show business now. We're expected to be joined by Ultimate Mergers, Ray Lavender. Ray is a top-notch singer, if you watch the show. He's got an announcement to make tonight, and he will join us and talk about what's next for him. And the future is bright for that kid, 23 years old, young guy, a lot of ability, a lot of potential. So he's going to come on here, and we're going to talk about it, and we'll conclude Ultimate Merger Week today as we talk with Ray Lavender. It's been a good ride here. We had Javis Dorch, we had Isaac Keys, we had Lyle Silva, and now we'll finish it off with Ray Lavender. So it should be interesting to get his thoughts and what's going on with him. Also today, we're going to talk a little football. We got a little thing going on out here on Go For It. We'll talk about that as we continue on. One person's going to take somebody, and another person is going to take someone else. But you'll see how that will.
Oh, you're leaving everyone in just suspense. You know.
And we'll definitely get to that. But it should be interesting how we choose sides here, and it should be interesting to see who chooses what. We'll see, and we'll definitely get there. Well, I want to start in the NBA now. Denver Nuggets star Carmelo Anthony. All signs right now are pointing to Carmelo and the Nuggets parting. And right now, Carmelo is weighing a deal, 3 years, $65 million, three-year, $65 million extension from the Nuggets. Right now, Carmelo, and there's been talk that him and Chris Paul want to get together in New York City and play for the Knicks. We'll have to see what happens there. But, you know, you talk about all these big threes, and everybody wants to be a part of everybody, and everybody wants to link up with this one and that one and try to get them a championship on some level. You know, a lot of people are saying that if Carmelo was to sign the deal, maybe it would be a sign-and-trade type of situation, or maybe Melo will just leave Denver altogether and go to New York in the summer of 2011. So, I mean, he has some options here. If he wants a little security, maybe he signed that money, go for the money, and maybe they'll do a sign-and-trade so he can get as much money as possible here. Or maybe he just plays out the year and tries to link up with Chris Paul and Amari Stoudemire and try to get to New York. I don't know what he's going to do, but, I mean, like I said before, we talked about the big three in Miami, Bronny, LeBron Braun, and Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, and now we possibly may have something in New York. So who knows what can happen. You know, I mean, it would be interesting to see that happen, but Carmelo, in my mind, if he stays in Denver, he's involved in a fairly decent situation.
Well, but Paul, I mean, like, don't you? I mean, at some point, don't you think? First of all, it's a year to 2 years out. Number two, let's be honest, quickly, there's not going to be a sign and trade for the NBA Max, and I think. And I want to, the reason it's important to point that out is I'm sure you know, maybe the only team that could do that probably is the Knicks because of cap restrictions. Because if he signs with the Nuggets, they get the exemption. But then to trade him would then mean that the new salary would be in effect. So it would preclude a lot of teams because
it would be a sign and trade type situation.
Yeah, but it would be a sign and trade on the old deal, and he would sign just like they did with LeBron. And the reason I say you got to clear that up. It's important to note with LeBron, they signed him under, you know, the older contract, or they traded him under older contract terms because the new salary would hit the new team. So because it would be like if you signed the guy and trade him 6 months in as opposed to 6 days in or 6 hours in. But that being said, I mean, this whole Carmelo thing was certainly there before the big three ever really came to fruition. I think it's here again as a guy who thinks he's greater than the whole. And I think a lot of athletes really kind of need to look in the mirror and say, you hit it the nail on the head. I mean, Denver, he's had a really good run at it in Denver. And I don't think Denver, in my opinion, although they don't maybe weren't as deep and didn't have the roster to fill out against L.A., I don't think Carmelo or the Nuggets tried to railroad him in getting a championship. They brought in great coaches and great players and surrounded him as best as they could. At some point, Carmelo has to take a long, hard look in the mirror and say, what am I doing wrong?
And also you have to look at the situation, the uncertain situation of George Karl last year when he went away with his cancer situation. The team really struggled, and ultimately they were knocked out in the first round by the Utah Jazz. So, I mean, maybe he's thinking about that as well. And I look at the roster right now. They did add Al Harrington in the offseason, which will be a decent piece. And they also have Chauncey Billups still in the mix. And you hope Kenyon Martin will come back a little healthier. And J.R. Smith is also there. But I think this is a team that a few seasons ago went to the Western Conference Finals, and a team that gave the Lakers fits in that series. And they played well in that series. And they took the Lakers to six games and easily could have won that series. So this is a team, I think, that is poised and in some kind of position to contend for a title. But you look at this now, and obviously Carmelo maybe wants to go to New York. I mean, you know, New York City is a beautiful, big city, and you're adding to the mix that he will be playing with Amari Stoudemire, and if, you know, something could happen, maybe Chris Paul. So, you know, it's definitely a good situation for Carmelo if that were to happen. And it would be a team that could contend with the other big three in Miami and also the big three in Boston. We tend to forget about Boston, and we forgot about Boston in last year's playoffs. I was guilty, as just like everybody, just like a lot of other people. But you kind of forget that Boston is still there in the mix, and they have added some pieces. And Shaq and Jermaine O'Neal. So this is a team that added something to their already potent big three. So it should be very, very interesting and to see what happens with these big threes eventually when they do clash. But, again, if you're Carmelo Anthony, I mean, again, he wants to be a part of a big three situation. And
well, but Paul, does he really want to be a part of a big three situation, or does he want to be you know, a relevant NBA superstar? And this is a year to 2 years premature. I mean, at some level,
because if he doesn't sign that extension, Denver may have to think about trying to get some value for this guy and get some players for him if they know that he's not going to sign their deal. So to me, it makes a lot of sense for him to do something like that. It makes a lot of sense for Denver, to do something like that and trade this guy and try to get something for him if they feel like he won't be back.
But Paul, has at least a minimum of a year on this contract. When does, at some level, he need to just stop, you know, worrying about what he's going to do next year and the year after next and focus on the business at hand? I'm getting, I guess, a little tired of now the new thing is again, to be relevant. If you were Chris Paul, force basically what is a week and a half to 2 weeks of just utter nonsense just because you think, well, I can get myself on SportsCenter. I can post something on Twitter, and nothing comes of it. He's not getting traded this year. He's certainly going to have an offseason if he opts out of a contract to make a decision. So at some level, play out your over and over and over again, but especially in the NBA where it is a guaranteed contract and these guys are making, even poorly paid, they're making buku dollars. It's not the NFL where it's a Darrell Revis situation and your argument is he only makes $1 million a year. I mean, Carmelo is making money, Paul. So shut up.
I'm not saying the guy's broke. Obviously he's not broke, but obviously I think it comes down to him wanting a change of scenery in some respect. And there's, like I said, it's been talk of New York City. He's got New York on his mind. Maybe he has a New York City.
Well, have it on your mind. But meanwhile, you're in Denver. Denver fans are, you know, paying you and guaranteed. And when is it appropriate?
Now that he is in Denver, he feels like he wants to move on. And he wants another opportunity elsewhere. And
but how healthy is this? How healthy is this for his team right now?
It's not healthy for this team because it's looming.
Is this, and you agree,
healthy.
Paul, but
you agree this is not a Darrell Revis situation where the guy is not grossly underpaid and he's not wanting
to
meet.
No, it has nothing to do with this. This is an obvious guy who may want to change the scenery. And for whatever reason, maybe he believes that.
Then don't sign a 7-year, don't sign a 5-year contract. Then sign a 1-year deal.
Maybe he feels like he has taken Denver as far as he can take them. Now he's decided, you know what, I've taken his team as far as I can take them. Now I feel like, you know what, I want a different situation.
But then,
But 3 years ago, I just, when are you going to hold these athletes to some level of accountability and say, but if he is thinking that today, then yesterday and the year before that and the year before that, he should have said, you know what, I can't sign long-term offers. I live in the present. I'm a touchy-feely kind of guy. Things change for me daily, and I don't want to be locked into long-term commitments. He signed a contract. He gets paid by the contract. Shut up and do your job. Or why don't you retire and go to work like me?
It's not real. I think you're looking too deep into it. It's not really like that. This is a guy right now who can become a free agent after this season. They're offering him. The Nuggets are offering him a 3-year, $65 million extension. And so the way Carmelo looks at it is, I don't think it's about money here. It's about wanting to be in a different situation. And I guess you also have to look at, like I said, the big three popping up in Miami. And it's got a lot of people thinking. Heck, what could happen? I could be possibly team up with LeBron. I could team up with Carmelo. I could team up with Omari Stoudemire. Well, we could put our own big three together. I mean, maybe Carmelo's thinking, you know what, I can't win a championship here when you got LeBron, Bosh, and Wade in Miami, and you got Kobe and Los Angeles. I can't win it here. I just can't win it here. I mean, maybe that's what it is.
But, Paul, why do we need to talk about this? And it's on the table. Either sign it, don't sign it. But to me, to float out where and when you're going to go other places.
And they're saying now, what I'm hearing, sources are saying that in him signing the deal, it does give him the best opportunity to be traded. So, you know, whether Carmelo does sign the deal is ultimately up to him. But it should be interesting to see what he does there. But right now we have a caller. Hello, you're on. Go for it.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I don't understand why everyone seems so surprised. It seems like if you don't have three superstars on your team nowadays, you just can't compete. You know, how are you supposed to compete with the likes of the Miami Heat and the Celtics and these guys that just have three superstars, not one or two anymore, but three
looks like you were having some phone problems there. He, well, basically what he's trying to say, I guess, in a lot of ways, if you don't have the three superstars, being that everything is, it is what it is now with LeBron and those boys in Miami, and you have a situation in Boston, being as that way, you know, some people feel like they can't win unless they're aligned with two other superstars.
Well, I think the Celtics and Lakers with bringing in you know, Gasol with Kobe, and the Lakers and their theoretical big three, now big four. And I think what the caller said certainly was an interesting point: is could they or could we be in the middle of a new look NBA? You know, an NBA that recognizes what you may see is a vacuum, Paul. You may see a couple of teams where the power will shift to a dominant team or two in each conference. Because, I mean, if you have three and plus superstars on each team, well, I mean, then really you have two or three teams that are premier, and the rest of them will make the playoffs, be competitive, but certainly not, you know, be at the level of the Celtics, the Lakers, and the Heat at this point, and probably, you know, the Chicago Bulls.
Right. I mean, I just you make a very good points there, and it just seems like right now everybody wants. I mean, it's a copycat league, and the players, they copycat as well. Everybody wants to be a part of some kind of big three. Because if you look at it, just think about it. I mean, you got guys like Jeff Van Gundy, former coach of the Knicks, NBA analyst for ESPN. You got a guy like him who's coming out and saying this Miami Heat team will win 70-plus games, won't lose two in a row, may win 33-plus games in a row. I mean, if you look at that roster, and you look at that team, it's not out of the realm of possibility. I don't think it'll happen, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. And some people, you know, feel like, hey, I can't beat LeBron, Bosh, and Wade. I got to align myself with others, superstars. Now, and I think that's what he is thinking.
No, I agree with that.
You know, why not? If you have an opportunity, because he will be a free agent in 2011, next summer, and the Knicks, Eddie Curry's deal will come off the books, so they'll have an opportunity to sign this guy, and you know, and but that would be a good situation. The ball would be back, and it's great for the NBA when the team in New York is good, and the team in New York is winning championships. And the team in New York is competitive, and the team in New York is doing great things. It's great for the league. So you kind of, in some respect, if you're an NBA fan, kind of hope that maybe he does go there. Maybe he does. You know, maybe you're hoping that happens. But you know, all in all, it should be very interesting what happens with this situation. If you have an opinion on this Carmelo situation, your number's to call 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgan. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gan@gmail.com. That's goforit.gan@gmail.com. Again, we're expected to be joined by Ultimate Merger star Ray Lavender the next half hour. He's going to give us the lowdown and tell us what's next for him and what's going on with him after this show and after the Ultimate Merger. I want to switch gears now to a competition that we're going to have between me and my co-host, Jeremy Yespe.
You seem excited, Paul. You know, competition.
It's not
a competition. We're not competing. I mean, are we going to put odds on this?
We're always competing. We're always competing, baby. It's competition here. And to get you in the mood for this competition, let me just give you a little
something. McNabb, everybody. Say McNabb, everybody. He is the guy. If the Eagles want to fly, everybody say McNabb.
McNabb song, and hopefully that got you in the mood. But what we're going to talk about now, what's going on now, I'm a big Donovan guy, Donovan McNabb. I didn't think the man needed to be traded from the Eagles. And right now, with all that being said, I'm laying it down.
I'm sorry,
Bob.
I was getting a little nauseous.
Donovan McNabb and the Washington Redskins will, A, have a better record than the Eagles, and B, Donovan will have a much better year than Kevin Cobb. I've said it. I'm laying it down. That's how I feel.
Well, and I'm gonna certainly tell you, and we've certainly figured out that because we're two married men, and we have significant others and young significant others, I'm gonna go out there and tell you that Kevin Cobb is gonna have a better year than Donovan McNabb, and the Eagles are gonna have a better year than Donovan McNabb, and so what we've decided is, to be charitable to our family members who love and put up with us, you know, the victor in this quote-unquote competition is going to take the loser certainly out to a dinner of their choice.
Oh, without a doubt.
Without a doubt, you know. So it's certainly going to be interesting week by week to watch, you know, you save your pennies. You keep them saved and keep them close because, you know, it's well known here in the Yeti House. We like to eat, and we don't worry about money at the dinner table.
Well, the Gant House does worry about money at the dinner table. The Gant House does worry about money. It doesn't like to spend lots of money on dinners out. And you know, we're an old country buffet, a Texas Roadhouse, Applebee's type of family. You know, we're simple. You know, we don't need all these fancy restaurants and all these fancy foods to satisfy us. So,
but see, the Yesby household doesn't even worry about it because they're victorious. They've already become victorious.
I guess there's a few schools of thought there. But with all that being said, looks like the Gants will be taken out to a fine restaurant in sometime in January.
But you can assure yourself the Yespies are never going into Old Country Buffet. So better get that APR in check.
After January, the Gants will not be at Old Country Buffet. We may be at Lebec Finn or any other fancy restaurants out
Route. Lebec Finn will be closing down. The bottom line is, and we both know, I mean, your ties here to Donovan are purely out of emotion. And I, unfortunately, have been known to, through the years, to prey on a person who's going to make an emotional decision. So, I mean, I'm going to ask you, we have a couple more minutes for this show ends. Because once the show ends, on a recorded line, mind you, on a tape, there's no going back here.
Well, we'll see definitely what happens with this wager. But
no, it's not a wager. Not a wager. It's a competition.
Donovan McNabb is going to have a great year. And it's going to be one of those years that you're going to be shocked by.
Well, I mean, watching the tape, I watched the game again actually this morning at 4 o'clock when I was up relaxing with my son. We were watching some game film, and you know, McNabb, even when he threw that touchdown pass, it certainly was not as impressive as you're making it out to be. It's a team, Paul. You know, I watched these running backs. I thought to myself,
and it was a touchdown. I mean, Donovan McNabb is a guy who has proven that he can ball, and he will have a better year than Kevin Cobb. I'm sorry. Let's take a call. Hello, you're on. Go for it.
How you doing today?
How are you?
You know who this is?
Who's this?
This is Willie Rolfe.
Willie Rolfe, how are you, sir?
Good. I was supposed to call y'all yesterday.
Yeah, well, what happened?
I was flying home.
All right.
I was supposed to call y'all on the 14th.
Willie, we got you here right now, so let's talk.
I got a statement about McNabb, and I'll tell you. I'll tell you why McNabb will have a better year than Cobb right now. Because he's running Mike Shanahan's system, and all that system is they're going to run the ball, they're going to run the ball, they're going to play action. Now, he's going to have to stay healthy this year because he's going to do a lot of rolling out of the pocket and stuff. But I think with Shanahan's system, the way they run the ball and the way they spread the field, it was running back by committee when he was in Denver. And if they can be successful like he was in Denver this year, then it's going to make McNabb's job a lot easier. And I was impressed with the way that offensive line looked, and I was impressed with the rookie tackle, Trent, the one they drafted at the left tackle. I thought he did a pretty good job the other day.
But Willie, I'm not going to take anything. Paul, when you listen to the show, I'm not taking anything away from McNabb. I think, for me, the one thing I see in all of this, and I said, was Andy Reid has tied his career to Donovan McNabb. And for Andy Reid to let him go, to me, speaks – there's something behind the scenes that maybe –
He's been hurt the last couple of years. I think one of the factors is he's been hurt. He had the hernia, he had the ACL. He's been hurt the last couple of years. But you got to look at
within the division. Maybe Andy knows something.
But hold on, what about the fact that McNabb's been hurt the last couple of years? I think that's why they let him go, because they think. Hello, are you there?
We can hear it. Willie. Paul's insignificant. You talk to me.
I think the reason they let McNabb go is the fact that he's been hurt some the last couple years, and I don't think they think he's durable enough to make it through the season. But if he can stay healthy, I think he'll have a good year if McNabb can stay healthy this year. Now Cobb, he's basically like a rookie because he hasn't played any. So you got it. It's a different when you're coming off the bench being a backup and when you're being a starter. So I think it's going to be a little bit of growing pains with him, being a starter all year, playing with Michael Vick behind you. And they got Michael Vick just in case he doesn't play as well as they like, then they'll put Michael Vick in.
Oh, yeah, don't get me wrong, Paul and I, as I said, made it very clear on the show, Donovan certainly has decades on Cobb, and I don't expect Cobb to have an all-pro year. And it's not a knock on McNabb. I just think, my biggest problem in this offense, as you just said, was they're going to run the ball more. And for me, for McNabb, it's going to be a difficult transition to come into an offense. We're talking about this on Saturday. He's going to throw the ball 20 times a game. In Andy Reid's offense, he was doubling that. And I think it's going to be harder for him to see that.
But that also can be a plus, though, because if you're running the ball, it's going to make it easier because it's going to be a lot more play action. I'm telling you, the way when Shanahan was with the Broncos, the way they ran that system, and then they run it, they'll dink you, they'll run the play action backside to the tight end, and then they hit you over the top for the long ball. That's how they run that system. And I'm telling you, he doesn't need to throw the ball 35 times a game or 40 times a game anymore. And that was a lot of wear and tear on McNabb. So, his numbers should be better. His percentage should be better this year because they're not going to rely on him as much as they had to rely on him in Philadelphia.
But your years in the NFL, and a guy like you, I certainly hear what you're saying. A guy like you was in the trenches, played on some very good Saints teams. My problem is for McNabb, he's on the downswing of his career. The receivers he has, other than Santana Moss, and certainly a great tight end in Cooley, but these are older running backs. This is a much older team than I think people want to let on. There's really no young talent on this team.
But the line's pretty young, right? The offensive line's not that old.
And that's what's gotten McNabb into problems in Philadelphia, Willie. And I think, again, you, more than anybody, should be able to recognize the young offensive line, that pendulum can swing either way, game in and game out.
You're right. You have a good point. But if they can run the – but they got Larry Johnson, they got Clinton Portis, and they got the other back. If they can run the ball, my thing is this, if they can establish the run consistently on a week-in, week-out basis, it's going to make McNabb's job easier.
I couldn't agree more. Like I say, it's very interesting to hear someone such as yourself who dominated, in between the trenches –
Well, and I play against Shanahan every year when I was in Kansas City. And I'm gonna tell you, every time we went up to Denver, we went up there early in the season, and we barely. I don't know if we beat them in my 4 years in Kansas City. I don't know if we beat them up there. And I think the first year they beat us at home, Shannon Sharpe had a big. The future Hall of Famer Shannon Sharpe had a big game against us and had like 20 yards receiving against us when he went back to Denver before he went to CBS. That last year for the Broncos, and after that they didn't beat us in Kansas City. But I don't remember us beating them up in Denver. It was tough to beat those guys. The altitude, and I'm telling you, Shanahan's system, and I know his son, I think his son's offensive coordinator up there, and he was with Houston last year, and I'm telling you, he runs the same thing. They're going to do the same thing Shanahan did when he was in Denver. Shanahan pretty much controls the whole, you know, coaches everything. You know what I mean? They're going to do what Shanahan wants them to do. And if they can get off to doing that this year, they're going to score points.
So you know what, Willie? We want to get your take. I'm sure the listeners, too, are going to be certainly interested. First of all, how do you think Shanahan handled, the entire situation with regards to name escapes me, defensive lineman. How do you think he handled
Haynesworth,
that?
Haynesworth.
Yes, Albert Haynesworth.
You know, I think he wanted to send a message to the team. This is my thing. After he failed the physical, I know he wanted to keep him out there and make sure he passed the physical, and then he said his knee was hurting. I think it gets a little bit when you're not letting the guy practice. You know, you're costing him time on the field to get better with his teammates. Then it's a problem. But I think after, if it had gone on for another week, that'd have been too long. But you know, he has to send a message to the young guys that they're gonna have to follow the rules. And he had to send a message to the young guys saying, "Look, this guy's making all this money, and he's gonna be accountable just like you are." And I think that's the message he had to send. He's gonna keep Haynesworth on his toes, and when you deal with a coach like that, he's gonna make sure you come and play every week, and that's what the owner wants. If I give a guy all this money, I want to make sure this guy's in the best shape, and this guy's coming to play hard for me every week. I don't want the guy to come in out of shape and not produce. You know, Haynesworth didn't produce last year. I want to get my money's worth out of Haynesworth, and that's what Shanahan's there to do, to make the older guys accountable and make sure those young guys are ready to play.
So, and I think that one of the things we had mentioned many times is that it certainly was establishing, you know, Shanahan, and it's very well known that it's a Mike Shanahan team. But if you're Haynesworth, and you were on that level, like, it's not a player that the league cannot take seriously. How do you as a predominant, as a premier player in the league, how do you take this when it's on SportsCenter every night of the week for better part of 2 weeks?
Well, I mean, you know, Haynesworth understands that the spotlight. Well, that's exactly what Shanahan wants him to do. He wants to put the focus on him and make sure that the pressure's on him to be accountable this year. That's all he's trying to do. He's just trying to make him accountable and make sure he couldn't trade him. I mean, they gave the guy $30 million already, so I can't trade him. The guy has a lot of talent. You know, I mean, he's an excellent football player. I understand we were arguing about 3-4 or 4-3 defense. I mean, you know, he likes playing in the gap. He don't want to play head up on the nose. And then they'll probably move him around and let him play over the offensive tackle. And I can understand that. It's hard to – that 3-4 defense is kind of hard to reach your numbers and do some of the individual things you want to do. You got to be – this part of the team concept with that 3-4 scheme. So I can understand Haynesworth's point also. But, you know, he got all the money. And he's got to be accountable, and he's got to come out there and play hard and practice hard every day. And that's the bottom line. So I think that was the point that Shanahan was just trying to get across to him and to everybody else on that team, is that I'm going to make sure he's accountable and he's ready to play. And, you know, if he doesn't play well week in, week out, everybody's going to be watching him more because the focal point was on him at training camp over anything else going on with football. It was all about Haynesworth.
Right, and while we have a couple minutes, I don't want to keep you longer than you're certainly willing. How are you? Where are you? We know you're coaching out in California, 2009. You've probably been enjoying retirement, but what's Willie Rose been up to?
Well, what I was doing when y'all before I came on the show, y'all, I got the email and the Facebook. I was Well, this summer I was going to camp with Baltimore to help with Michael Orr, but you know, me and my old lady, significant other, my son was in High Rocks camp in Asheville, North Carolina, and we picked him up last Saturday, a week before now, and went to visit my grandmother in Mill. We took her out to Mill. We have a summer house in Millwood, Virginia, on my mom's side of the family. So we went up there on the 13th and picked him up on the 6th, and then drove up to Virginia on the 7th and stayed right outside Winchester. And then I took my grandma back up to the nursing home in Northwest D.C. off Connecticut. I've been in D.C. off Connecticut Friday and hung out with her Friday and Saturday, had dinner with her at her nursing home, and I flew back to California yesterday. So right now I'm taking some online classes and finishing school up, and, you know, I won't be coaching this year.
Well, we got to certainly have you back on. I mean, Paul and I have a big dinner, you know, on the line here, and we both have young kids to support, so this for us is a big deal, and a big tackle like you could certainly be the swing one way or the other. So we are probably going to call you and bring you in to pep us on.
I would love to. I would love to sit and debate with y'all. I'll be watching football this year. I'm looking forward to the season. I'm looking forward to see how everything
Who's gonna win it all this year? I'm sure last year, you know, with the Saints winning was special for you. But who do you see as a real contender?
Very special for me with the Saints. I think the Saints will be good again this year. I think they're gonna be in the mix. You know, the line struggled a little bit last week. The offensive line. You know, the Jets, I'm watching the Jets. The Jets have so much talent. You know, I was watching ESPN earlier with Tom Jackson, and Sanchez is the key. If Sanchez can turn that interception to touchdown ratio over and stay in the 58 to 60 percentile, I think the Jets have a very good chance of getting there. I really like Minnesota. If Brett comes back with all the talent the Vikings have, you know, if Brett Favre comes back, I don't see why they're going to be any – if he can have the same similar year he had last year, you know, then I like the Vikings, and I like the Jets, and, you know, I got to put the Saints back in the mix again. And
that's a good thing. Willie, we're certainly gonna have to keep you, you know, in the mix here. Paul and I, as we said, a guy like you could make the break for either Paul or I, so we'll certainly see you on in later shows.
Okay.
Thanks again, Willie.
Thank you for having me.
So there you go. That was a little bit unexpected and certainly enjoyed.
I'm sure Willie would side with me. You know, Cobb is going to come in and then light this season up. We're certainly soon to be joined in continuing the Ultimate Merger Week. I think, Paul?
We are joined, actually, now. We are joined by Ray Lavender from the Ultimate Merger. Ray?
Hello?
Hello, Ray.
Yo, what's poppin', homie?
How are you, sir?
I'm good. How you doing?
Doing well. Good to have you, sir. Good to have you on.
Oh, man, yeah, likewise. Thank y'all for having me.
I hear you got some big news that you need to tell the world, but we're going to get to that. But we want to talk about the show first, Ray. Is that okay with you?
No, let's get into it. Let's go.
All right, let's go. Let's get it on, Ray. Now, Ray, you were a guy that was very popular on the show, and it seemed like you and Omarosa had a very good physical connection. Talk about that connection.
Yeah, the connection was kind of crazy. I ain't gonna even front. Naturally, I'm a ladies' man. You know what I'm saying? Once we connected and she started telling me what she like, and once I got into her world a little bit, telling her what I like, you know how it go, man. She's getting touchy feely and feeling each other out, and you know, so two people you can tell when two people get together if they got that chemistry or not. You know what I'm saying? And as soon as me and Omarosa got around each other, you know, it just turned on and it never stopped, and we didn't even care if it was around them other dudes.
Now, like, it was weird you guys had that connection. I mean, you're 23, you're kind of young, she's a little older. What was it about her that drew you to her?
You know what? First of all, like I like chocolate. I ain't gonna even front. I'm a chocolate man. I like chocolates. Not to take nothing away from, you know, my fair skin.
The vanilla. It's chocolate and vanilla. There's only two types of ice cream, you know, that are soft serve. So let's keep it real.
You know, I like some chocolate, man. I ain't gonna even front. And you know that was one. And then you know she got some nice little lips on her, and you know the body. She actually, a lot of people don't know. You know, she's a sexy lady. You know what I'm saying? And I'm very attracted to sexy. You know what I'm saying? So I'm definitely not mad to say that. You know, so yeah, that, you know, it was a physical attraction, man. Those were some of the things I liked about it.
So Ray, you're saying you're 23 years old. I mean, we certainly can catch you on Facebook. We can catch you. We can Google, you know, the images of you. And you're saying at 40 plus, this is long term viable for you? Gravity isn't going to come into play here?
Man, you know what? I'm a hopeless romantic, man, and I don't, you know, I'm one of those guys that you find love anywhere. You know what I'm saying? That's the reason why.
Even in the club.
On the television show, yeah, you can find love in the club.
I have an individual who has found love in the club. I mean, me and my wife have been married for 4 years, so it definitely is possible.
Yo, I don't see none. You know, you can find love anywhere, man.
I don't recommend it, though, Ray. I don't recommend it. It worked out for me.
No, I definitely wouldn't recommend you go to the club to find it. But like I said, you can find it anywhere. And when they you know, initially called me to come on the show to find love, you know me, I'm like, nah, I don't need that. I don't need to go on no show to find no love. I'm straight. You know what I'm saying? I can find it out here.
I mean, before the show, was it kind of easy for you to find love out in the streets?
Yeah, man. Not to toot my own horn and nothing, but I mean, you know, I'm
right. Ray, how did you toot that horn?
I was doing my thing out here. You know what I'm saying? I'm a well-established guy. You know what I'm saying? I work hard enough and. You know, to top it off, you know, the ladies love when you sing, man. Like, it's something about these, you know, these vocal cords. If you can sing a little something, it's kind of like that chicken on leghorn, foghorn, you know, the one that was always in there crooning. He always had the chickens around him. Well, that's what it's kind of like, man. As soon as you start singing, they flock around. So I didn't need to find love that way. It was just interesting how my publicist brought it to me, saying like Donald Trump wanted me to come on the show to be a bachelor for one of his contestants that was on his show, and I'm like, well, who is he talking about? You know what I'm saying? So I went on there just off of humbug, and it worked out.
And it worked out, but Ray, I mean, you had a situation there. I mean, Omarosa asked the question, "Are you married?" And you answered yes. And is that situation cleared up, or is it in the process of being cleared up?
No, it's definitely cleared up. The show was a long time. Actually, the show was in November. You know what I'm saying?
It's official.
Yeah, it's definitely official. But
let the crowd get into it,
Ray. It's official. But let me say this, though. Omarosa knows exactly what it is to go through something like that. Like, she had just got out of a divorce that was ongoing. It took her almost 3 years to get out of. So she knows exactly what I'm talking about.
And that's
what I mean,
one of the questions, like, do you feel a little played, and you've brought up a good point. Here's a woman who went through a divorce, and there is legal technicalities. And obviously, when a marriage is over, to a certain degree, the paper is just, the punctuation at the end of the sentence. It's still, you know, it is what it is. Did you feel played?
No, I didn't feel played because, you know, we were on national TV and you know, you can't go on with, you know, I understand her argument. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, nobody wants to be in that situation. And if they, you know, that's a hard situation. That's a tough situation to be in. You know what I'm saying? And I totally understand it. So I don't feel played because I know what she wants. You know what I'm saying? It's the proof is in the pudding. I was the last dude in there out of all the dudes that wasn't married.
It's very evident that she wanted to in a lot of ways, but she felt like she was settling.
And I mean, if that was the case, she would have, you know, she would pick one of the other guys. But obviously, she felt some kind of way about me. You know what I'm saying? And that says a lot to be standing in that mediation room by myself after all that was played out, all that was heard in that mediation room. You know what I'm saying? If I'm still legally bounded to someone still, and I was the last guy in the mediation room. That means she has some kind of thing for me, and probably, you know, she still does.
Well, have you seen her after the show?
Yes, I've seen her. Yeah.
And what was the interaction like?
I mean, we cool. You know what I'm saying? She's actually dating someone now. She's actually with the Michael Clark Duncan guy. Like they're together. You know. Yeah, it's funny thing about these dossiers, you know what I'm saying? We couldn't pull her dossier. We couldn't see her skeletons in her closet. You know what I'm saying? Once reality set in, once we got back to the real world, we got to get our laptops and our phones back, because they don't give you your laptops and your phones on set. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is so you don't go and dig up what you can dig up on that internet, because that internet is a boy, it's a beast, and it'll tell you.
That it is. We're talking to Ray Lavender from the Ultimate Merger. Ray has something to promote, so make sure you stick around and listen to what Ray has to say. He's got a big announcement coming up. But Ray, after the situation with Omarosa. And it was discovered that you were still married. My question is, why didn't you say it from the jump? That, listen, I'm married. I'm going through a little situation here. I'll be divorced. It's just a bunch of technicalities at this point.
Well, in the beginning, it was it's a competition. Okay, now. In a competition, you don't go in, especially when there's all these other guys. And believe me, strategically, I was going to say it at the right time and place. I didn't want to be the first one in the first beginning to get kicked off and she not know who I was in the beginning. First, she had to know who Ray Lavender was before I throw all my bones out of my closet. First, she needs to know exactly who I am, and then once she knows who I am, that's when I start telling, okay, this is what this is. I got this. If you didn't notice, like I was telling her about my kids and all that, but I didn't tell her about my kids as soon as I got in the house. You don't do that. Like, you don't go over some girl's house. Soon you knock on the door and you're interested in her. You're like, hey, by the way, I got like 19 kids. Let's see. I'm on child support for four of them. You know what I'm saying? You don't go out and just go ahead and just air out your dirty laundry right then. You go ahead and you talk to her. You find out things about her, and then you gradually tell her things about you. Now, strategically, I did it at a certain time and at a right time because I wanted to get to know who she was. I wanted her to get to know who I was. So when it was the last four guys, I told her exactly what it was.
I could have lied. You could have. You clicked other on there, right? Correct?
I put other on there. I could have said nothing.
Right.
you know what I mean?
Let me ask you a question, Ray. When Omarosa first walked through those doors and you realized it was her that you guys were competing to get her love, what was your initial reaction?
first I didn't know who it was. I'm like, okay, it's a tall, brown skin, you know, sexy little thing came through the door. That's all I knew. I didn't know no names. I didn't know who she was. When they started clapping, I didn't clap because I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what they was clapping for. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm one of them dudes that's 110%, man. Like, if I don't know what's going on, you're not finna catch me faking it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So once she came in, I'm like, all right, you know, well, she's a sexy little something. You know, let the games begin. But who is she?
Now, also, Ray, let's look at Omarosa again. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, obviously 1 being the worst. Looks alone, what do you rate Omarosa?
Oh man, you put me on the spot right there.
He's a tough interview, Ray. He's a cracker.
I give a whopping 7. A whopping.
Okay.
Wow, that's a tough scale,
whopping.
Ray.
You're a guy who, if you look at the pictures, I mean, you know, I'm a married man, no homo, as they say in the streets. You know, you're a decent looking brother.
You
know,
I appreciate it, man.
I mean, so it's a little surprising that someone would fall for a 7-piece like an Omarosa.
Yeah, you know what? I'm one of them dudes though. Like when, like I said, like if I get to know you, if I understand your story and see that you're a princess, like inside of all that, you know, all behind that wall that you're trying to put up, this mean lady thing. If I can go in there and find it, then of course, you know, I see more than just the outside. You know, I'm one of those guys, man, and I have to be one of those guys because these models out here will get you hemmed up. You know what I'm saying? They get you hemmed up in some money situations and get you married to them, and then after you marry, it's too late. You know what I'm saying? So you got to find out what's on the inside of that lady first before before you get involved. Now, it's more than just a pretty face and a big old butt, man. Like you got to look inside that woman.
And as Bill Fifth DeVoe says, you never can trust a big butt in a smile.
You cannot trust a big butt in a smile, man. Boy, it's some behind that butt.
Now, Ray, let's move to your singing career now. I mean, you're a guy who obviously on the show you sang a lot, and you're definitely a good top-notch singer. And
thank you.
You got a song out now, My Girl Got a Girlfriend.
Yeah, that's my first single, yeah.
Now, and talking about that song, have you ever experienced something like that?
Yeah, man, that was during my college years, man. I experienced that. Matter of fact, I wasn't going to even put everybody in my business like that in the beginning. Me and Akon sat down and did a bunch of records, and that record wasn't even supposed to been like nowhere on the album. And then, matter of fact, my album was done. And at the time, Akon was on tour with Gwen Stefani. So, you know, I said, okay, let me get some attention. You know what I'm saying? Like, these guys are going out making money. I'm back doing artist development. Let me see if I can get the attention of get America's attention, put them in my business a little bit. So
right.
I'm on the road driving, and I called the studio. I said, hey, y'all, I'm coming. Y'all set me up. I'm coming in. I got the song I'm about to do. So as soon as I went in, I did the hook, and the engineer he said, this is my favorite song already, and you haven't even finished the song. So once I finished the song, I told every part of my business. I put the whole story that how it happened into the song, and I leaked it on MySpace that night. That morning I got up, Akon had called me like 54 times. I had like 54 missed calls. And he's like, yo, what is this record, My Girl Got a Girlfriend? It is playing. It's like on the top 8 at 8. It's the number 1 at 1. It's all over the country right now. And I had just put it on MySpace the night prior.
Wow.
So that's how I know it was going to be a big song. But that song, it actually happened while I was in college. Like I had my own apartment, and me and this girl had been together for a minute. And I got off work early. I was working at UPS, man. and I got off work early, and I never get off work early, man. So I got off work early, and there was no car in the driveway, none of that stuff like that. I got in the house, and I seen two pairs of lady shoes at the front door. Now, that was awkward because she never took her shoes off at the front door. And I'm like, what's going on? Why is there two pair of lady shoes at the front door? You know what
right.
I'm saying? So, like, all right, whatever. You know, you don't really think about it, after, you know, because it's your girl, and there's going to be lady shoes in the house. And I went upstairs, and I heard, like, sex sounds. You know what sex sounds sound like, moaning and groaning. And I'm like, yo, she is in this room cheating right now. Like, there's some dude in my – I'm going to go to jail right now. I'm going to bleak out. And you know how when you turn the doorknob on the door and it's not locked, you can tell it's not locked because the door turns all the way. Well,
right.
That's what happened. I turned it and I pushed the door open. And man, when I tell you, like, I ain't gonna, like, at first I was shocked, but it was like one of the most beautiful sights, even if beautiful is a word, one of the most beautiful sights I ever seen. But I was mad at the same time.
Well, and that's gotta be. I would be very angry at that. And if you say it's beautiful, I got to take your word for it. But if that's my woman on the other, in there with another woman,
luckily you didn't go to jail. So you know, you're out here now, and you're promoting your stuff, and you're doing well for yourself. So it's a good thing.
Yeah. But listen, think about it, wifey though. Like, don't think about it as just your girlfriend. Think about this as wifey.
Right.
And you just caught her cheating with another woman.
You know, well.
That was my
dilemma. It wouldn't be a good situation.
Exactly.
Already,
Paul, you know what? It ain't no fun, Paul, if the homies can't get some. I mean, you know.
Well, that's not a homie, though. That's another girl taking your wife.
Well, you know what? A homie can come in all different stuff. Listen, we learned tonight that soft serve ice cream is certainly chocolate and vanilla, and we also probably can admit that a homie doesn't just have to be a regular homie.
True, very true.
This is 2010.
Yeah, you're right.
So, Ray, well, we got a couple minutes left. You have an announcement to make with your career. What's going on with the future of Ray Lavender?
Well, I got another reality show coming out. There's a spinoff for me. I can't talk too depth and go into depth about it, but I got another reality show coming out, and it's going to be real, real big. It's going to be more exciting than this one that I just got off of. So stay tuned for that. I'm doing a bunch of plays this year, but I got some movie stuff I'm gonna be doing. I'm gonna be doing a lot of acting this year, and my single just released. I love it. That's the name of the single. I just released that. And it's released, and it's going to iTunes August the 31st. But I just did like a little leak of the single last week. It's called I Love It. It's a great single, man.
So big things for Ray Lavender. We got another reality show coming out. That should be good.
Another
That's
one.
Interesting. Now, Ray, you know, I dabble in music a little bit myself. Let me know what you think. Let's take a listen.
Say McNabb, everybody. Say McNabb,
what?
Everybody.
Ray, I apologize. I apologize, Ray.
Everybody
oh, man.
McNabb.
Ray, can I get on that album?
Ray,
can I get on the album?
Man, I don't know. Like, let me come out first. You know what I'm saying? Let me make my first album come out, and then I'm going to put you on that.
You know, they do say Ray, I tried.
Yeah, Ray. That would be the move, Ray. Put me on the mixtape, and that mixtape will sell. Ray, I want to thank you for stopping by. It was a lot of fun, sir. Good talking to you. And we wish you nothing but the best. Remember, my girl's got a girlfriend. That's out. That's another single. And your album's dropping in the fall, correct?
Actually, no. We're going to wait till the top of the year. I'm going to release two singles, and then I'm going to come out first quarter.
All right. Well, first quarter for Ray. So, Ray, thank you for stopping by. And when that album comes back, come on back, so we'll talk about it.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, I appreciate y'all.
And, Ray, I'm going to be on the lookout. I'm going to be on the lookout, Ray. Some of these vanilla women out there, maybe, just maybe, I'm going to try and bring one or two your way.
Man, listen, I have no problem with the vanilla women, man. You bring them over here.
It was great talking to you, Ray.
Take care, sir.
Good talking to y'all, man. Have a great night.
Take care.
All right, you too. All right, we want to thank Ray Lavender for stopping by. He's got another reality show possibly in the works. And also, his album is going to drop top of the year. So we want to thank Ray Lavender. We want to thank Willie Rowe for stopping by. And, of course, we want to thank everybody for listening. For Jeremy Espy, this is Paul Beep.
Beep, beep. Beep, beep.
Take care. See you later. Bye.